I'd like you to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, we're going to read a small section here, and then we're going to go a little bit farther on in the book, and I'll explain what we're going to do eventually. All right, Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Go back there to verse 2. You know that's what's going to happen to all the people that are in hell? They're going to burn and burn and burn and never be consumed. And that's scary. I mean, you can't even imagine that. Verse 4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Okay, chapter 14. Let's go over to chapter 14. Everybody that's familiar with the accounts that transpire through here, we come to chapter 14, and we read in... The Lord spake, verse 1, unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pi-Haroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-Zephon, before it shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness has shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Verse 7, and he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And then go down to verse 9, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea besides Pi-Haroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. It's a story we're very familiar with. And we just pray we can bring some light to what most of us already know. Repetition is often good. It cements some things in our hearts that are very important. Many of us might have been raised on these stories and then got saved later on and returned to these stories, and they had new meaning. So I don't look for new meaning. I just ask for the truth to be garnered here by all of us. And by chance, if anybody's watching live stream without Christ, if there's anyone here without Christ as their Savior, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would bring that needed conviction. You might see their great need and understanding that they cannot save themselves, but that they must be saved and come to rely on the finished work of Christ and trust Him as their Savior. So have your way now, and I just thank you for moving upon my heart to give forth the word in the hearts of the people that are here and that are watching to receive it. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So between what I read and what we read here, chapter 3 to 14, we have the constant contest between Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron. And then we have the Passover. And then, of course, the Exodus. And now they're running. Finally, Pharaoh has left them. And they're running. And they are, according to Pharaoh and the Egyptians, the wilderness has shut them in. There's nowhere to go. You've got the Egyptian army this way, and you've got the Red Sea that way. And there's no escape. So we go back to chapter 3, and God is telling Moses what he's going to do. And then he tells Moses that I'm sending you to go and lead them out. And I've taken that word. I'm going to use three words. Well, it's three phrases. All believers are sent. Every one of us have been sent. We've been saved by grace through faith. There's no other way to be saved. And yet we are sent believers. We are told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You gotta go somewhere. We're sent people. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it talks about the receiving power. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me at home, neighboring towns, the state, the county, the world. All right. Therefore, you have to be sent. And we can be sent in a variety of ways. Missionaries, tracks. It doesn't always involve us personally. Most of the time it does. But we can be praying. I mean, all of this is important. The word, we're told, Paul said in Ephesus, in the book of Acts, I've preached the entire counsel of God. And that just baffles me. That you know, I've been doing this a long time. And not just here, but in other places. And I haven't even come close. I couldn't even say I've preached a quarter of the counsel of God. There's just, it's overwhelming. But he said, I've preached unto you the whole counsel of God. He didn't stay on one subject. I was talking to somebody that I was hoping might show up. I haven't seen him for about 32, 33 years. And not going to church anywhere. And where they were going to church, he said, the only thing, he says, if you needed to be saved, you could have been saved there. But he says, but there wasn't anything else. I said, you're right. There wasn't anything else because there wasn't anything else. That's all there was. And there's a lot in Scripture. Paul told Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And of course, for why that's to be. So we are people that are sent. We have jobs to do. We have people to get to. And yet, in chapter 14 and verse 13, there are times when believers are told to stand still. Stop. Remember the little children's song? Stop and let me tell you what the Lord has done for you or me. Stop. Stand still. In case you haven't noticed, we don't have all the answers to all the circumstances and problems that we face. And we don't even have that in our country. And in many times we don't have it in our local churches. We just don't have the answers to some of the things that you know, pop up. But all of we who are saved have the all-knowing and all-powerful God who does. And we have to yield to Him in His Word in those situations. Because if you think you've got this thing mastered, you're in for a big surprise, a painful surprise. We don't know everything. And so we garner these things together, and many times we're all teaching each other. Because you may have found things that I've never found, and I may have found things you never find. So don't rush into things when really the Lord's saying, hey, stand still. You know, this verse helped me. I had this situation when we were down at the lawyers, Chris's lawyers, and I got really upset with him. And we were driving home, and I could feel my heart just pumping like crazy. And I kept it up on Friday evening. And then Saturday, and I told Micah, I said, I don't think I'm going to come here Sunday. And it just kept up Saturday night and into Sunday morning. And I had already called the doctor, and he said, you're stressing out. I'm not a stressed-out person. But apparently that's what I was doing. And the verse came to mind. Hey, be still. And Psalms, and know that I am God. All right, and doesn't He not have everything under control? And do you know, at that moment, it stopped. And so, you know, there's times when you've got to realize you don't have everything under control. Our country can't get this right. They want to control everything. And they don't have it under control. So then they make it, you know, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but they sure do make it tough to believe that they're not out to get us and conform us. I was telling them that, you know, MacArthur got his wish to have indoor services, but at what cost? Everybody had to have masks, and everybody has to be 6 feet apart. See, so, you know, that's like Pharaoh. I'll let you do this, but then you have to come back. Or I'll let you go part way out, or I'll let you go, but I'll, you know, and on it goes. And that's what the governments do. And there's times when believers are told in verse 15, the last part, that they go forward. And that's the chief area of what I want to look at tonight. Going forward. All right. In verse 11 and verse 12. And they, the Israelites, said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone? Boy, have you ever heard that before? That we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. This was a time of inactivity. There was nothing going on in Egypt. They had been so long in bondage that I believe it was hard, almost impossible, to expect that the Lord could do the work of a miracle. I don't think a miracle was even in their thought pattern. Most of them, all they knew was Egypt. That's it, generation after generation after generation. And of course we know Egypt is a type of sin, so if that's all they knew, they didn't know any better. And a picture of us before we were saved. So before you were saved, did you expect that the Lord could work a miracle? I mean, were you going to demand, like the prosperity people, that he work a miracle? In all likelihood, you probably weren't. So Satan had his way with them. And had his way with them. He controlled them. He influenced them. And in many cases, possessed them. You read with me in the narrative here in verse 5. And this is important. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And Pharaoh was a type of Satan. So, when the gospel made sense to you, whether you're young, whether you're older, it doesn't matter. Would it make sense to you, and you understood your need to be saved, or somebody witnessed to you, or you read a gospel pamphlet or a tract, and you responded by calling on Christ to save you, according to your faith, God saved you by His grace. And guess what? Satan and his gang of reprobates was not pleased. He didn't say, oh, I guess we lost another one. Oh, well, they're of no value anyway. No, he doesn't want to lose any. Our Lord doesn't lose any, but he loses a lot. You know? Sorry. What is the world? Is the world happy after you got saved? No, the world hates the believer. How about the flesh? If you're honest, you have an internal struggle all the time. You can buffer that by yielding to the Spirit of God, but if you give any opportunity to the flesh, it'll come right back after you. You say, you've got this thing mastered after so many years. And no, you don't. You never do. You're always on guard. You're always on edge. You just have to be. You just can't take for granted that the flesh has quit. It won't quit until the rapture, and then it will be no more. So this is important. You can rest assured that after you were saved, after I was saved, in one way or another, Satan has been busy to ruin your testimony, or to bring disgrace on the name of Christ or the churches through you, which has happened a lot. So, well, we may expect the Lord to work a miracle, but we're to have a little bit more than that. We're to have the trust and the confidence and the faith coupled with obedience to what he says. We have to have a part in this. You just don't call down a miracle if there's nothing in your life that resembles anything spiritual whatsoever. And this is important. It was the time that there was nothing going on with the Israelites. You read in chapter 3, you know, they were crying and so forth, but they were crying because they were being decimated. It wasn't because of spiritual value. It was that their physical lives were nothing. And many times that's where people cry out, our physical life. Well, the spiritual is very, very important. Okay, it was a time of testing. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians who ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Stand still in the face of the approaching enemies with no alternative of your own except to believe God And then verse 14 and 15, and the end of verse 14, the Lord shall fight for you. And has He not always done it that way? And you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, how unusual was that? I mean, when you honestly think of the picture, you know, they were protected by the cloud and the pillar of fire, but when that was lifted and they saw how close they were, and they turned around and saw what was behind them, the Red Sea, they were afraid. And here God tells Moses, tell your people to go forward. Do you think it was unusual for God to talk to Noah and tell him to build an ark? Never rained. Build this humongous structure. And what did he do? He responded in faith. The Red Sea before them, the Egyptian armies behind them. But God's way is always right, and it's always forward. It's not backward. Look at Psalm 107. Hold your place. Psalm 107. Now, you know that I'm drawing applications. These are Israelites, right? All right, just in case you thought, doesn't he know these are Israelites? And yeah, you can make applications. These all fit. And even this, verse 107, verse 7, and he led them forth by the right way. And of course, this was to go to a city of habitation. The Lord will always lead you the right way. The problem is when you get in the way and then it messes up and you don't understand and you say, did the Lord lead me this way? It's the right way. It may not always be without problems, because I don't know that there is such a place. And you just need to know that where He leads, He's going to give you the means whereby that you can make things work. Sometimes you get in the way. And when you get in the way, they don't work. And then you have to force it to work. And then you think, oh, this is wonderful how God led. Not if you have to force it. You can't make things happen. So in chapter 14, we see in verses 9 and 10, it was a time of crisis. The Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Parahareth and before Baal Zephon. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. So you had two alternatives: defeat or victory, death or life. Is this book a lot about that? It's all about that. This is a life or death. When we give these things out, and even in Deuteronomy, it talks about, I've set before you death and life. Choose life. Victory, defeat, blessing, sorrow. They're all there. And there aren't any alternatives. And many times these are crisis moments, and you've got to make good choices. So when you're thinking, or when they're thinking, I'm thinking for them, God has promised them to get them into the promised land through Abraham. Now they've been with Egypt for an awful long time, and it's almost like maybe Moses was thinking, I wonder if God's promise to Israel is going to fail because of his people. Leave us alone. Many people don't want you to assume. Many people don't want you to invite them to church. Many people don't want anything to do with the truth. Most of them have some bad background that they don't want it. Or they've been taught, in the atheistic programs of our government, and then we're useless people. We're dangerous. All right, verse 19. And this is talks about this. It was a time of victory. Verse 19. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud of darkness to them, but he gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night, all the night. Moses stretched his hand over the sea, out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground. I mean, you don't only have one miracle, you got two miracles. I mean, you've split the sea entirely, and now you've got dry ground. Do you know that the pond back there, we went for 6-8 months. It's finally, there was nothing in there. You wouldn't dare go in there because you would sink down about 3 feet. It's never been dry. So it's been a year. And here, in one night, it's dry. Then let me see, where am I? Lost my place. Okay, the waters were divided. Children of Israel went into the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. In the past and in the morning watch, the Lord looked up unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of the fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, and the waters covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh. That came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. And then you look out over the sea, and there's nothing but water. No bodies floating yet. But the children of the Lord walked upon the dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. It took all that to get them to believe and to fear God. You think that somebody that doesn't fear the Lord, they can just turn on a switch? It can be very much like this. It's going to take a lot of destruction and a lot of hard lessons to learn before they fear the Lord. So, that was the victory. Israel marched forward to victory. And because God acted in their behalf, the people and believed the Lord. So, we as God's children, through faith in Christ, are a people also that are not only sent, and that are not only times to stand still, but to go forward. Here's the first one. We're to go forward in faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You know it well. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So here's a person that they do a prayer, they walk an aisle, they say something to you, and they say that they're saved. And then you sometime later, and they don't know that they're saved. They just don't know. What is to say? You've got to believe that God saves you. I mean, if he says, you know, come unto me, and you do come unto him, and he says, if you'll come unto me, I'll save you. You've got to save you. What's the point of coming to him if you don't believe that he saves you? It's because you don't understand. 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. If we're going to go forward, and we should go forward in faith, we've got, this is important, we've got to move forward and trust the Lord all the time. All right? We have to go forward against evil. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Against evil. Psalm 97 verse 10. He that loves the Lord hate evil. Evil is an action word. Do something about it. Just don't say, I hate that. Because then you do a disservice to the word hate. Hatred involves action. All right. In verse 11, and have no with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Most of those works we know of, some we don't, some we haven't been educated enough yet, but those that we know, don't fellowship with that. Rather reprove them. Go down to verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And we've got to walk against this. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. All right, here's in Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1 says, this know also, that in the last times perilous times shall come. There's a list of 19 things that take place there. And we come to verse 5, having godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Why was he saying it? Because these are people that are within churches. These are not out-of-church people. These are people that are in churches and houses of faith or whatever. What they are is having a form. There's not godliness. It's a form of godliness. It denies God's power, and we're not to have anything to do with them. You've got to go forward against evil. In same chapter, verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse, deceiving and being deceived. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. The amillennial cut that verse out of their Bible. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing whom and them. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Down here in verse 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, special citizens whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, which sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, full and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. We are to go forward against evil. We are to go forward in faith and against evil. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we look here in verse 17. We're to go forward in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what kind of a creature? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So, when you were saved, you entered into the Christian life. There's a Christian race. There's a Christian warfare. There's a Christian walk. right, and you started the Christian walk, and you knew nothing about what's up there. Even kind of knowledge as an unsaved person, you needed something and someone to show you, to tell you, and of course it's in the Word, how this is and what we're to do in this new walk, in this new life that we have. We're told in Romans 8:29, formed to the image of Christ. All the things that we found hard to get rid of are all for a purpose, so that we'll be more conformed to the image of Christ than we were yesterday, and less than we are tomorrow. Each day we should learn our relationship with Christ, be more conformed to His image. Philippians chapter 3. And look here in verse 13 and 14. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There are many people that can't shake the past. Paul says, hey, forget it. Get over it. You can remember it if you want, but get over it. Move on. And I'm moving toward this prize, my relationship with Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. And look here in verse 22. Well, let's do 21. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, that as in the truth, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man with deceitful lust. So we're told in our relationship in Christ to put off the things of the old man, the things of the flesh, in verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The only people that can do that are saved people. You get rid of the garbage and put on the good stuff. And that is a lifelong struggle. Especially if you were saved later. If you're saved younger, it's not as difficult. But we all have the same battles. All of us. Put off and put on 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit. All of those things. Somebody asked me one day, how do you work the fruit of the Spirit? How do you make that happen? I said, you don't. You yield. You yield to God. You yield to the Holy Spirit. And He produces these in you. You can have divine love on your own. Or divine peace. Or any of these. You can't, you of your own self cannot produce these. You have to let the Lord allow you, Himself to work through you to produce those things. So what does that do? It puts in every one of these things in our relationship with Christ. You are drawn out of the picture. He is dominating the picture in you and through you, for you. All right. Here, against, let's see. Go forward in faith against evil in our relationship in the life of our local church. Churches, let's put it, local churches. In Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And this is a great section. This is the result of people that were coming out of darkness into light. And look at the things comparing 2 Corinthians 5:17 with what happened here. Verse 42. And they continued steadfastly, these are the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and the many signs, wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men, as every man had need. Verse 46, they was one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as be saved. So they were spending every day with one another in fellowship, likely in Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. All right, so church should be so much, much more than convenient for us to go to it and participate in it. And we have reached that point where I think we're being confronted with this face to face. It's no longer a convenience. I don't know that it ever was. I've been here on times when I didn't feel like I should be here. I don't know that there was ever a time that I wasn't here because I just didn't feel like going. Or I was scared of going. If we're going to go forward, it can't stop us. God brought these people out of a desperate, no-win situation by working two miracles, the sea and the dry ground. And they were to keep going forward through the wilderness. They failed miserably. And I think sometimes we fail. As, like I said this morning, we had a good run. Everything was pretty nice. And now that it's getting a little tough and we don't know what's what at any moment, we withdraw and say, I really shouldn't be a part of this. On what basis? I wonder if any of the people in here might say, I don't trust that ground is going to stay dry if I go over there. It could be a trick. I don't think the wall of water is going to stay that way forever. It might be a trick too. I don't think any of them, how many of them made it to the other side? All right, so we have the opportunity in the church age, in this age, in the life of our local churches, to be victorious. No matter what's going on all around us. They could come to the door, they can come and do bad things, they can sit down to some degree. There's a lot of things that can happen. But we're God's people. This is the church is God's instrument of blessing in this age. And I'm not going to say what I would do or wouldn't do, but if I'm going to make a big statement about I'm not going to settle for masks and social distancing. It just doesn't sound normal. And it's not proven. I mean, if we're going to talk about science, where is the proof that having a mask on is beneficial? All of you had a mask on today, and I didn't. Who's safer, you or me? It's me without the mask, because your breath's all taken up, supposedly. How is that? It just doesn't make any sense. Anyway, going forward in the life of our church, it could get 10 times harder than it is today. We still need to go forward. It's who we are, and it's who the Lord is. And then 2 Corinthians, here's the last one, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I live in Titusville. Titusville is not my final home. I may move from Titusville to another place. My wife panicked. But verse 1, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse 8, we're confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. We should be looking to go forward, and our final destination is home. Right. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In speaking about faith, chapter, we have this description later on in the chapter. verse 16, before they're all done. But now they desire, 11:16. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly, to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. All right, go down here to verse 38. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And therefore, through faith, received not the promise. They didn't get that then. They got it after. Chapter 13. Verse 13. Let us go, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reward. We have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Don't put your roots down too deep here. Because he's going to pull you out. You ever have a tooth that needed to be pulled and the roots were really deep? You know how bad that hurt? Even if you could hear the crunch and the grinding and you kept waiting, come out. It's got to come out. It's, how long are the roots? I kind of think sometimes Christian people are going to be like that. The rapture hurt occurs in the twinkling of an eye. Some that are just so held here. I don't want to go. I'm not going. Yes, you are. Twinkling of an eye. So, three things. How are we spiritually, we who are sent as a group, as people? What do we do when we're told to stand still? Do we ignore God or do we stand still? And number three, are we continuing to go forward? Are we continuing to grow? It's important. We're in different stages of growth. A lot of that depends on when you were saved and where you were and the churches you've been in. There have been people that have been in churches that say nothing, do nothing, and fall for everything. And then all of a sudden they come and they get in something with it. And they should have been way down the road here in growth, but they're way back here in the baby stages because nothing was given to them, prepared for them. Yes, they should have studied. Yes, they should have grown and compared Scripture with Scripture. But many times these are things that are helped along by people and will help you grow in any way you can and give you the ammunition to grow. If God didn't leave us on our own, why should we leave each other on our own? We need help, and we need each other. So let's pray. Our Father, we come before who you are, who you've always been, who you will be. For the work that you have done in each one of us here who is saved. For the work you want to do in anybody who's lost. I personally wish I was at a greater stage of growth than I am. And a lot of that has to do with times I would step out of fellowship and so I'm not at that growth stage that I should be. But I'm very practical about what I say when I say that I don't think any of us are. We've all had times when we've area or another and decided one thing or another outside of your will and then came back in. So we missed out. Hopefully not much. But now we're given opportunity to, and hopefully as we conform to your image, we're not doing it. I'm grateful that you use us. I'm grateful that you didn't use angels. You used us. Angels look into the things that we do. They can't do that. They can't go out and win souls. They can protect us. What joy isn't there, in seeing somebody come to Christ, seeing somebody who has been in darkness come to the light, or somebody that's been in a light, a lack of teaching, and to see the light go back on strong and bright. There's nothing better. It's not for the purpose of lifting us up. It's the purpose of you lifting them up. Yes, we are sent. You need to stand still and see who you are. Review our salvation. Make sure, examine ourselves, see if we're even in the faith. Not to cause a doubt, but for reality's sake. And we need to go forward. We're not supposed to be a retreating army. We're supposed to be a marching army. Going forward. So the song says, with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection. I'm thankful, Father, for all that You do through us. I don't know how deserving we are of any of this, but I'm thankful for everything. And so I pray that You would speak to our hearts here tonight. We do serve a great God. And You, being our Father, are the greatest of all fathers. Less than us. You want our heart. And that may be a slow process, but I recommend that heart being given to You immediately. It'll deter a lot of suffering, a lot of pain. I'm just grateful for the examples that You gave us through the Israelites, the New Testament scriptures, and hopefully for putting all these things together. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.